Gracious and merciful God, on this first day of Lent, Sunday of Lent, we've come to worship you, to praise and thank you, and to seek your forgiveness and to ask for renewal. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within us. We come in the name of Christ, remembering his lonely days in the wilderness, his time wrestling with temptation, and the ministry that followed, restoring and transforming so many lives. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within us. Help us to learn from his example, to search our hearts as he did, to consider our calling, to reflect on our faith, to resist temptation, and to commit ourselves more wholly to you. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within us. Help us to recognize all Jesus has done for us through his life, death, and resurrection. And so may we come gladly to you, confessing our sins, acknowledging our faults, accepting our weaknesses, and receiving your forgiveness. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within us. Gracious and merciful God, we've come together on this first Sunday of Lent. Speak to us today and in the days ahead, so that we may know you and love you better. Create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a right spirit within us. Nourishing God, your Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness where he knew the hungers of his heart. Lead us also deeper into our hunger. Show us the bread which will satisfy our cravings so that we will desire the power that you alone can give. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the people said, Amen. Welcome everybody. As was mentioned in the opening prayer, this is the first Sunday of Lent. You know, of course, that there are 40 days to Lent. Some of you who do your sums may wonder how come there are 40 days between Ash Wednesday and Resurrection Sunday, when in fact it seems to be about 45 or 46. Well, that's because Sundays are not counted as days of Lent. Sundays are always days of resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection of our Lord. So if you take the 6 weeks of Lent, 42 days, plus Wednesday, as Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, that's 46, and you take away the 6 Sundays, and then you've got your 40 days of Lent. That's where that descriptive comes from, to of course correspond to the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. One suspects he didn't have Sunday breaks in the midst of those, like we do. But you get the sense of how we have the 40 days. And so we don't make as much of it in the United Church, generally speaking, as do some of the other more traditional Christian churches, the Roman Catholic, the Orthodox, and the Anglicans, for example. But we do become conscious of it, because the lectionary takes us through Jesus' journey towards Jerusalem. And it's important, of course, that we focus on what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, because that's what is what he focused his disciples' attention on. We have Good Friday in this congregation as part of its annual tradition. I've been informed they have a Good Friday service this year, so just might want to just keep that in the back of your mind. And of course Resurrection Sunday, which is the third Sunday in April. I should know, but I don't. I'm still focusing on Lent. So the reading, therefore, from the Gospel this morning is Jesus testing in the wilderness. And you may, of course, realise the debate that has gone on concerning how we translate that Greek word, temptation or testing, and it is really determined by the context or by a particular theological framework or even our situation in terms of how we translate that word. And the older versions of the Old Testament had, of course, temptation, of the Lord's Prayer. The more newer versions of the Lord's Prayer, of course, talk about times of testing and trials. It's not one or the other, and the book of James is a lovely little pastoral epistle which addresses the way one flows into the other, and one day we might have some studies on that. But at the moment, when we come to the scripture reading, and often headings in our New Testament say the temptations of Christ or something like that, remember, it can also be translated as the testings of Christ. But to guide us in our thinking, let's pray together this prayer. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see life, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis 2:15-17 and carrying on with Genesis 3:1-7. Then the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. He told him, "You may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden, except that it gives knowledge of what is good and what is bad. You must not eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you will die the same day." The disobedience of man. Now the snake was the most cunning animal that the Lord God had made. The snake asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat the fruit from any tree in the garden?" "We may eat the fruit of any tree in the garden," the woman answered, "except the tree in the middle of it. God told us not to eat the fruit of that tree or even touch it. If we do, we will die." The snake replied, "That's not true. You will not die. God said that because he knows that when you eat the fruit from that tree, you will be like God and know what is good and what is bad." The woman saw how beautiful the tree was and how good its fruit would be to eat, and she thought how wonderful it would be to become wise. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband, and he also ate it. As soon as they had eaten it, they were given understanding and realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and covered themselves. Now we go to Romans. Romans, Adam and Christ. Sin came into the world through one man, and his sin brought death with it. As a result, death has spread to the whole human race, because everyone has sinned. There was sin in the world before the law was given, but where there is no law, no account is kept of sins. But from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, death ruled over all mankind, even over those who did not sin in the same way that Adam did when he disobeyed God's command. Adam was a figure of the one who was to come, but the two are not the same, because God's free gift is not like Adam's sin. It is true that many people died because of the sin of that one man, but God's grace is much greater, and it is his free gift to so many people through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. And there is a difference between God's gift and the sin of one man. After the one sin came the judgment of guilty. But after so many sins comes the undeserved gift of not guilty. It is true that through the sin of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? All who have received God's abundant grace and are freely but put right with him will rule in life through Christ. So then, as the one sin condemned all mankind, in the same way the one righteous act sets all mankind free and gives them life. And just as all people were made sinners as a result of the disobedience of one man, in the same way they will be put right with God as the result of the obedience of one man. We go to Matthew. Matthew 4. This is the temptation of Jesus. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After spending 40 days and 40 nights without food, Jesus was hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you're God's son, order those stones to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone, but needs every word that God speaks." Then the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem, the holy city, set him on the highest point of the temple and said to him, "If you're God's son, throw yourself down, for the scripture says God will give orders to his angels about you. They will hold you up with their hands, so that not even your feet will be hurt by the stones." Jesus answered, "But the scripture also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all their greatness. "All this I will give you," the devil said, "if you kneel down and worship me." Then Jesus answered, "Go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and only serve him." Then the devil left Jesus, and the angels came and helped him. This is the word of the Lord.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
And all these things shall be added on.
Garden of Eden. The wilderness, Jerusalem. Up a mountain. Now here's what jumped out at me as I reflected on the Genesis and Matthew stories which were read to us this morning. All these places where the tempter, the tester shows up are also places where God's people can reliably be said to have met with God and been given the opportunity to show faithfulness. When I was young and a new disciple of Jesus, I had it drummed into me that certain places were to be avoided to minimize being tempted. In those days, according to those fine Christian folk, these included the pickies, any sort of dancing, and it was assumed that one realized that you stayed 300 or 400 yards away from any pub. Now these places mentioned here in the text which came to us this morning convey an opposite image all together. The Garden of Eden, where God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, which according to Torah reckoning was not the end of the day, but would actually be the first hours of the new day. Imagine beginning each day walking and talking with God. Well, of course, the obvious suggestion is that it is very much possible simply by focusing our attention on our Lord and talking aloud or in our minds, bringing to our awareness that the Spirit of God already knows that which is deep within us. Imagine starting a day like that. It need not just remain in imagination, it can actually happen. But in the Bible, when we come to wilderness, it's not just a blank canvas ready for the filming of a Western. It is the place where the Hebrew people, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, now on the run from slavery in Egypt, met God. Where the people met God. Moses had met God before in that same wilderness. But it is the people now who would meet up with God. God provided for them day and night manna to eat, a cloud of presence to follow them during the day, and a pillar of fire to watch over them by night. The wilderness is where the people of Israel were meant to learn dependence and trust in God. The tempter takes Jesus to the temple in the holy city. And again, it's a place where the people of Israel can reliably be said to have met up with God. They worship there. They sacrificed there. And when they were enforceably relocated by the Babylonians, they sang their songs, "How shall we remember Zion in the shores of a strange land?" When they were allowed to return to Jerusalem, the very first thing which they rebuilt was the temple. And in spite of what we might have picked up about how things were within the temple precinct, it was still the place where Jesus and his family, or rather Mary and Joseph and their family, including Jesus, would regularly go to offer sacrifice and to meet up with God. Their faith in the Lord was ignited in the garden, stoked in the wilderness, and burned brightly in the temple. Then the tempter, we read, the Satan shows Jesus one final scene, a high mountain. The high mountains in the Bible are never about geography. High mountains is where Moses met God and received the Ten Commandments, those same Ten Commandments that Moses would dash to the ground when he saw the people had fashioned for themselves a golden calf because they did not trust the God who kept Moses up there for conversations for day after day. The high mountain is where Elijah did battle with the priests of Baal. last few weeks we've looked at Jesus who preached what we call the Sermon on the Mount. The mountain is never just a geographical description. It is a spiritual description of closeness with God. So in all the places where God can reliably be said to have been present and supplying the needs of God's people, the story of Israel, and by default ourselves as well, as we picked up in the text from Romans, is that the people can reliably be said to turn their backs on God. Garden of Eden, no thanks. Eat what you like to your heart's content, except just for this one item. All that fine fruit, grain and vegetables, that good food, no thanks. We'd rather eat the one thing you ask us not to eat. Wilderness. Manna from heaven, promised to be given each day. We'd rather gather it up and hoard it, even though you gave us that promise. We'd rather make sure for ourselves that there is something there for the day tomorrow and the day thereafter. Temple, let me be your king on high. We'd rather have our own king. We built you this beautiful house, O Lord. True, Solomon's house is twice as big, the scriptures tell us, but you know, we need to be like the nations, the people around us. Mountain. An invitation to draw close to God. But we'd rather party with the golden calf we can see than wait for the word from one whom we cannot. At every place God can reliably be said to have guided and provided for his people, at every place the people have said no. Until now, that is until the text from Matthew. Until Jesus. The whole point of that text is to remind us that Jesus did not turn his back on God or what God demanded of him. Jesus' time of testing, his 40 days in the wilderness, reflecting both Moses' time up the mountain when Moses communed with God directly, and the 40 years of the Israelites being strengthened in their faith in the wilderness till the doubting generation had died out. Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness results in his strong affirmation that he trusts God with even his life. He is a true child of Israel. He shows a human being can live well, that we can master temptation, withstand testing, as the story of Abel and Cain implies. Sinners lurking at the door, its desire is for you, Cain is told, but you must master it. We often read Genesis 3, the whole story, not just the bits which came to us this morning, to suggest there is something powerless about us in the face of tempting and testing. But Genesis 4 and these testing temptation stories of Jesus suggest otherwise. A large portion of the book of Hebrews picks up the theme that Jesus was like us, human, tested in every way, yet withstood, and therefore he is able to help those who are also tested or tempted. There is the option to resistance available for us. Wilderness. Jesus was told, take manna, make bread, you can do it in your own way. This drawing people to God. But Jesus does not take up that challenge. Instead, he remembers the promise of God. On the temple, throw yourself down, let the angels catch you, to demonstrate to everybody whom you really are. But Jesus does not succumb to this. Instead, he relies on God. Mountain, you can have it all the kingdoms that you can see. They're really mine to give, says the tempter. But Jesus not only refuses the challenge, but issues the tempter, go away, get behind me. The same words that he chose to address Peter with, when Peter tries to turn him away from going towards Jerusalem and the cross. There's always a choice that we have. And there is always one on whom we can draw for strength to make the right choice. Jesus calls us to be disciples of his way of being, to accept that we can't do it alone. Part of being human is being aware that we are insufficient, that we are not complete in and of ourselves. That lack is a permanent part of our condition. To be human, in other words, is to be aware that we carry inside ourselves a hole, an emptiness that we will always be restless to fill. Adam and Eve beheld the fruit and concluded in a heartbeat that their hole is shaped just like that fruit. That's what they need to be complete. Yet after they eat, the emptiness remains. Lent is the season for us to remember that when we try to go it alone in our human strength, just like our ancestors in faith, we will fail. We will encounter a sacred boundary, and we will ignore it or we will cross it. We will be provided manna, and we will want to hoard it rather than to share it with the community in which we have been placed to be witnesses to the gospel and to the mercy and love of God expressed in Jesus Christ, hopefully identified through how we interact with those people around us. We will be given an identity rooted in God, and we will minimize it or forsake it, preferring instead to find our identity in clan or tribe or nation. We will be given a kingdom not of this world, and we will turn our heads toward any other image of strength or glory rather than accept that which is offered to us. When we try to go it alone, we will turn up our noses at the very manner of God. But we don't have to go it alone. When the tempter left, the angels came. We don't have to go it alone. We will be provided the manna. Our Lord himself is the one who meets us in the drinking of the cup and the eating of the bread, and who will nurture us and nourish us. We have it here at the Lord's table. And we recall, as part of our meeting with our Lord at the table of the Lord, God's saving acts as community, but also we do well to recall God's action in our own lives. And then the manna which is provided feeds us into recognition that this indeed, the one who says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, he is the one who will fill this hole, this emptiness, which is part of the human condition. Amen. We have to sing, love will be our length and calling. To the time where we share our community notices and concerns, and you notice in the Bald Hills News that I have invited us, urged us to begin the practice of praying away through the people book so that we are mindful of each other during the week. You may just do it once a week, you may do it daily, you may choose to do it the 6 days of the week, because on the Sunday we come together and do it here within our worship times. But the point is that I would like us to begin this intentional consciousness of each other and to open ourselves in that way to what God may be saying to us, how we are to fulfill and live up to being God's people in this community. The suggested prayer, in case you're not sure of how to pray, is provided for you. It's not mandatory at all, but it does demonstrate that the prayer does not have to be wordy or lengthy. In Matthew's Gospel, in fact, Jesus goes to great lengths to point out our prayers can be quite succinct, but God will still respond to them. We also, in Lent, have a Lenten appeal Australia-wide, and part of that appeal is the presentation of a video which presents to us where the monies raised that way will assist the lives of other Christian people. We have that now. Terry is going to. You may, yes.
I just need to apologise because it works at home, and I can't get it to work through this morning.
So we will all adjourn and go to Terry's home.
So I have tried this morning, but this won't open up here. So we can have one more try if you'd like. Well,
yep, that's good. That's yep, yep. That's fine. Oh yeah, no. We now have other announcements.
Good. Yeah. Just leave that for the prayer.
Oh right, okay.
Good morning, everyone. The notices are mainly as per the notice sheet. Just like to mention a couple of things. On Wednesday, Louis will conduct the service down at the PM Village home, commencing at 10:30, and that service will include the Sacrament of Holy Communion for those who go down and for the residents down there. The annual general meeting of the congregation will be held in 2 weeks' time, the 19th of March. Copies of the annual report are out in the porch. There's not enough, about one per family, so if you haven't already got one, please take one and have a read through that. We've also been reminded that the terms of office for two of our elders, Annette and Lucy, will expire next at the time of the annual general meeting, but they have nomination forms have been submitted for them from them for them to continue. So there'll be a vote taken at the annual general meeting on whether we want them to continue or not. As Rory mentioned about Lent, a Lent event, where some of these leaflets are out in the porch. Also, we have the latest, the March edition of The Journey, which is available, and also the Eternity magazine, which comes from the Bible Society. There are plenty of copies in the port, so please take one if you haven't already got one. Thank you.
Oh,
sorry. I'm sorry, I meant to mention, I thought we were going to have that earlier in the service, but yes, it's Annette's celebrating a big birthday today.
Yeah, well, this is the time, the time, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, is there anyone else? Well, we're having birthdays for Mark, are we?
I don't know. What use is this? Do what you want, yeah.
Okay, it was a practice that on the first Sunday in the month, we would celebrate birthdays. On Lyle. Okay, Lyle, and you have? Okay. And Andrew, goodness.
Praying for others and ourselves. You call us always to seek you with all our hearts and to work in your ways, gracious God. Guide us with your wisdom and compassion as we bring to you the needs of creation. Our church gives thanks for those who have planted and those who have watered, but most especially to you, O God, for you give the growth. Heal us from all jealousy and quarreling, that we may be grateful servants, reconciled before you and working together as God's people. Let your spirit of peace and compassion fill the leaders of our nation and all who hold power in the world, that they turn away from our human inclinations towards Christ. Most understanding friend, wholly beyond our comprehension, yet willingly involved in a just sense of earthly existence, please stand by us in our hour of need. Open our eyes that we may recognize the many joys of temptation. Open our minds that we may be alerted by your light, and open our hearts that we may be fortified by your spirit. If at first we do not recognize the temptation, give us the courage to avoid its snare. Should we stumble and fall, lift us up and renew a right spirit within us. If we are taken unawareness, tempted without realizing the danger, stand in for us like a close friend and deliver us from evil. Save any who are threatened by violence, murder, anger and insult throughout the world, for you are mighty, O God, and you see everything. Bless us in the community with vision and perseverance, righteous God. Let us take seriously our sin, that our eyes, our hands may be just and right, and let any who are in conflict be reconciled to one another, and give us the help of your grace as we pray for those who we intercede, especially Gail Belbu, Christian and Peter Bernardo, Betty Burr and Gloria Butler. We pray also for Tony as he continues with his treatment, Deirdre as she tries to get used to her new surroundings, also Gavin Bitling with shingles. We pray for Barbara Cathcart as an end-stage cancer after many years of fighting it with fluid on her lungs. She has told her daughter who is due to have her first child and Barbara's first grandchild in 2 weeks that she has a very short time left. We lift all the family to you, Lord, and ask that your healing hands would restore Barbara so that this may be a very happy time for all and that she may see her grandchild. Hear our words of gratitude and praise for all the blessings that we enjoy offering our thanksgiving. Your wisdom, O Lord, is great, O Father, for you have not commanded any to be wicked, nor have you given any permission to sin. Inspire our loving compassion that we may walk in the spirit of our Savior Jesus Christ and do our part in your work of healing and reconciliation on behalf of the whole world. At all times and in places, remind us that your grace in Jesus Christ is sufficient for us, and in his name we ask all these. Amen. Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you. And so we are now able to bring our gifts to God. Gracious God, we thank you for the way in which you provide for us. Again, we acknowledge who we are and what we have are your gifts to us, and may our presence here and these gifts which we offer speak of our determination to offer who we are and what we have in your service. In the name of Christ, Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If any person will open the door, I will come in and sup with them. The Apostle Paul reminds us, I have received a tradition from the Lord, which I also handed on to you on the night in which he was betrayed. The Lord Jesus took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this to remember me. He did the same thing with the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you drink it, do this to remember me. And so every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, the Apostle Paul went on to say, you broadcast the death of Jesus until he comes. And so we have heard the invitation and the instructions, and in obedience
through the invitation which comes to us through love, and the instruction which comes to us also because of our Lord's love, we meet in this way.
All right.
And following his example, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving. The responses this morning are a little bit different than traditional because of past few weeks focusing on the Sermon on the Mount and moving into Lent. May the God of all hope be with you.
Amen.
Lift your hearts to the one who comes to feast with you. Children of God, sing praises to the one who feeds you with goodness and hope. We praise you, God, because in that former time you brought into creation all that existed in your imagination, word of life. The sun, moon, and stars illumined the shadows of chaos. Precious water trickled into creeks which joined together to rush to the waters of the seas. Every living thing multiplied in wonder, increasing your joy. You did this for us, though shaped in your image and heart. But when we heard sin calling, we immediately left your side, following its silent voice down death's dusty road. Longing for us to return to you, you sent the prophets to us, proclaiming the hopes of your heart. And yet we did not listen, letting evil continue to tear us apart. Then you sent Jesus to us, proclaiming that your kingdom had come, inviting us to live the ancient new way, the way of the blessed. And so with all the sinners and saints who have gone before us, with friends and neighbors sitting around us, with all creatures in heaven and on earth, we lift our song of praise to you as we say, Holy, 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 God of those poor in spirit, God of those who grieve, God of those who are humble, God of those who show mercy, God of those who have focused hearts, God of those who make peace, God of all who seek justice and righteousness. All creation gives watch for your justice and righteousness. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes to claim us as your own. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy and merciful God, and Jesus Christ is your blessed child of grace. When he heard your call, he immediately left glory aside to make a pilgrimage to our lives. When he could have played hide and seek with us, he revealed himself as the pioneer of our salvation. When he could have abandoned us to the yoke of sin and death, he took it from our shoulders, breaking it on his knees, shaking it into the cross, where he broke it now forever. As he calls us to follow him into the kingdom's new life, we speak of our faith, which often seems unsure. Christ died, Christ is risen, your righteousness comes through. Christ will be saved, our hope and peace. With him we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We appeal to you, God, in our lives, to send your Spirit upon us and upon these gifts on the table, that as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, may we do so in the very presence of Christ, with him and in whom, and by the Spirit who indwells us, we worship you with our lives. Christ is the bread of joy. Christ is the cup of life. Let us receive what we are. Let us become what we receive. For those who serve, please join me. This Jesus said, my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, Jesus asks for us. Jesus said to his disciples before passing the cup to them, this is the blood of the new covenant shed for the forgiveness of sins.
which Jesus also said, do this to remember me.
Our prayer after communion has congregational responses. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord Jesus Christ, fed and renewed by your life in us, we go now to share that life with others. Send us forth equipped with the power of your Spirit to witness by deed and word to your mercy. Amen. The colour for Lent, by the way, is purple, same as Advent, and it is the colour which speaks to us of self-examination, and particularly in terms of what it means to be discipled as a follower of Jesus. We sing, fill my whole life, O Lord my God. As we travel on this Lenten journey, we lean and work with the Spirit for a world where peace and harmony are restored. May the good and gracious God deliver you from all that is evil, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain in you always, now and forever.